Good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're back. I know people are getting back into the groove. School has started, to which the parents are excited. And yeah, kids are sad, but it's good to have a routine again and get back into the groove. We're starting a new series today called Breakthrough. That last song, as Pastor Lanny has said, is something that's just been resonating in our spirits here lately. I believe that God is on the cusp of something amazing in your life and in the life of this church. Amen. All five of you. I said, I believe that God is on the cusp of something amazing in your life and the life of this church. Amen? Amen. That's right. I mean, I don't know about you, but do you want a breakthrough? I think if we want it, we have to be expecting and excited about what God has planned. Because the truth is, if you have lived life at any point in your life, you have been up against the wall. You've been up against the wall. You've been trapped. You've been tired. You've been weary. And you've been wondering, God, where are you in this situation? Next slide. There's Corian. You've been wondering, God, where are you? Where are you in this process? I feel as if I am trapped. I feel as if I am literally have nowhere else to go. God, I'm looking for you. I'm hungry from you. I want you to show up, but I can't find you. Oftentimes is when we begin to cry out to God in our difficult situations. We begin to quote the scriptures like we just said in John 14, where it says, Lord, you said, if I ask anything in your name, you're going to answer. And we oftentimes will say, then God, where are you? Where are you in this prayer? And what we discover many times is that when we think he's absent, when we think that he hasn't heard us or can see our pain or our hurt or our situation, that's when we often find that he is on the verge of something great. That a setup is coming, that there is a miracle that is coming. Something great is fixing to happen. And that's when we can see that and follow through that process. So what I want to look at today in this journey over the next couple of weeks is we're going to look at the characteristics, some of the characteristics of God and how we can see how they apply through scripture, through stories that we have seen. And then also look at some of the barriers of our response through these stories. Because the truth is, we know that God is and can do anything we ask him to do. He's shown it time and time again. History has proved itself. We've proved who he is. You know, literally, one of the most historical books in the entire world is what? The Bible. Why? Because it is prophetic. It shows of what is and what was and what is and is to come. So we can see the validity behind knowing our God, our Savior. But behind that, we often have barriers in our lives that prohibit us from experiencing that breakthrough, experiencing that push through and what we see. So the first characteristic we're going to look at today is the characteristic that our God is God, our deliverer, that he is our deliverer. He is there for you. He wants to help you no matter what you face. He can deliver you out of whatever you feel like you're in. But the barrier here, the barrier that often happens is what I like to call the rear view mirror syndrome. Okay? Track with me here. Well, you've been in your car. You know what your car is here. You have this huge windshield, right? And your windshield, for the purpose of it, is what? To see the direction of where you're going. And then in the middle of your windshield, you typically have what? A rear view mirror. And in proportion to the windshield, that rear view mirror is about this big and is in proportion to this large, huge windshield. But so many times, now let me ask you this question. What would it look like if you were to drive only looking at your rearview mirror? If you're going forward, that's a problem, isn't it? Because you're only going to be able to see that small snippet, what's behind you. You're not seeing what's ahead of you. But yet what happens in our lives so many times is that we live our lives through the rearview mirror. We live our lives looking at what once was, the good times or what the happy times, the things that were perfect. And we forget about all the pain and problems behind that. But the struggle behind that, the issue that we have with that is that when I'm simply always looking in the rearview mirror, I cannot see what's ahead of me. So the characteristic is our God is our deliverer, but the barrier we face is the rearview mirror syndrome. So to discover what miracles are in store for you, you have to understand that the God you serve. Also, we'll look at these barriers that prohibit our breakthrough. So what we're going to do is we're going to compare and contrast our reaction with God's response. Look with me in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. This is the story. Let me just kind of preface and set up what's happened. In Exodus 14, the children of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt. They had literally been in slavery since the days of Joseph, where Joseph was there, where he was over Egypt. Years have passed. They've been in bondage. It's what the only thing they know. They've been in slavery to Egypt. They don't even know anything else. But God sends Moses as a deliverer. Moses comes and he delivers the people out of Egypt. So you can imagine, you've been in slavery your whole life. They step out of Egypt. They're on their way to, quote unquote, the promised land. That's all they know of it is, a land flowing with milk and honey. It's promises that God has. They don't even really know, because the only land they had ever seen was Egypt. So here they are, promised this promised land, and they're on this journey out there. Some of them, you can imagine, are a little bit frustrated, a little bit irritated, because they've literally jerked up their entire lives. Some of them are excited because they've heard that God is a deliverer. They've heard that God is there for them, and God has showed up now and he has delivered them. So you have these mixed emotions. And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, the children of Israel, now they're stuck up against the Red Sea. And they feel like they're at a barrier. They don't know how they're going to cross this mammoth sea. Is this the promised land? Is this what God has for us? And about that time, they notice that the Egyptians have now got thought of this and said, why did we let these people go? And they're now the chariots of the Pharaoh, and all of his men are charging towards them. And so we pick the story up in verse 10. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you that this would happen? While we were still in Egypt, we said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave of Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Now, you look at this situation here. They're against the wall. They're coming. We're just sure enough going to die right here. They're mad at Moses. And we see one of the barriers right up, the rearview mirror. They said, hey, we were better off there. We were better off there as slaves. Why do we have to come out here and die in the wilderness? It's all your fault, Moses. What did you do to us? And it's a barrier that began to creep up. All they could do was focus on what? The past. And what happens is our reaction to barrier is our panic and to freak out. Now, we've been there, right? Our reaction, you've been there before. You panic and you freak out. We like, what are you doing, Lord? You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The moment where you just realize, oh no, what have I done? And here they are. They're up against this. They're pushed in this regard. I don't know what's going to happen. I remember one time when we were having Gracie, our first daughter, and we were in the hospital in Sherman, and my mom and my sister-in-law, all of them got on the elevator. And the elevator wasn't like, it's an older hospital. So, you've been in those older elevators before. You never know what's going to happen, right? And all of a sudden, it's in Wilson and Jones, for those of you that know where it is. And so here it is. They're in there, and it starts freaking out. You ever been in one of those elevators? And it starts rattling and shaking, and it kind of goes up and down. Then it gets stopped. Well, about that time, my sister-in-law, Holly, who is very much claustrophobic, in a packed elevator begins to freak out. You know, it's like, get me out of here. But wait a second, there's no way out, right? And I love, my mom loves to tell the story. She laughs, just this panic, this fear that oversets. Because what do? How many of you have ever been in a situation like that? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you're claustrophobic now, but you're in that situation. You're like, what am I supposed to do? Oh, God, get me out of here. Wait, there's no way out. That's where these people are. And here's the issue with that. When you operate from that viewpoint, there is no hope. When you operate from that viewpoint, you're going to freak out. Now, you can look at it and say, no, we're good. You know, they're going to get this fixed. Everything's going to be okay. But the truth is, in the moment, that's not what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, God, help me. Here I am. And here's where the children of Israel are. Now, they already know that God has delivered them. There's the characteristic. God is a deliverer. He said he would. He had. But wait a second. He forgot. Now, look what I believe in Philippians 4:6, it says this. It tells us to not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So we can see from Scripture, it tells us, don't worry about it. Trust him. It's easy to say trust when you're not the one in the middle of a panic. But here they are, backs against the wall. But look at God's response. I believe God's response says this, calm down. I'm in control. Take a chill pill. Take a deep breath. All's going to be good. Look at verse 13. It says, Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Wow. That's a characteristic of our deliverer. Our God that says, hey, I'm going to help you. It's going to be okay. Take a deep breath. All will be well. There's hope in that. But yet, what do? We still look at the situation. We say, I don't know about that. Our reaction to that is what? Whine and cry. Look what happens in verse 14. Verse 15. I love this. Moses then says to the Lord, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people, get moving. I love that verse. Because catch this. Verse 14, Moses tells them, do not be afraid. Just stay calm. The Lord himself will deliver you, right? And that sounds awesome. Verse 15, Moses goes to God, obviously, and he's like, oh God, what have you done? I am the leader. I have brought them out here in your name, and now we're going to, he's basically rehashing it, right? Because I love that. He's whining and crying. Even though he just stood up and said, God's got this, he's now whining and crying because what does it say in verse 15? It says, Moses, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? You just stood up and told him be okay, and you're not okay. How many of you can relate to that, right? I mean, we like, you tell it like, as a parent, you're like, just be good, kids. It's all going to be good. Inside, you're like, oh God, like answer now, right? Everything's cool. We're good. Right? Oh Lord. I mean, you've been there. You know what I'm saying? Like you have this battle that's going on inside of you because the truth is that's our natural response. Our natural response is to look at this way. It's like, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to make it, Lord. I'm worried. I'm concerned. But the truth is this. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And he just told you stay calm. You just told everybody else stay calm. But that barrier creeps up. We begin to look at that rearview mirror. We're like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Look at everything. I can't see what's ahead. You see, God's response is obey and trust me. Obey and trust me. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining or arguing. So you can know I can trust in him. I can have hope in him. I don't have to worry. And God responds, look, obey and trust me. It's going to be okay. Look at verse 16. It says, he tells Moses, this is God speaking. He says, pick up your staff. Raise your hands over the sea. Divide the water so Israel can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will charge after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops and his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. So can you just wrap your minds around this? God says, obey and trust me. You're the children of Israel. You're there. You see the chariots coming. You see Egypt's on their way, and you're going, oh God, what are we going to do? Even Moses, the leader, is going, oh God, what are we going to do, right? And God says, just lift your hands over the sea. Can you imagine Moses? I mean, it's like, okay, and he does this, and all of a sudden the Red Sea just separates. I mean, just picture, if you can, for a moment, what's happening. I mean, you're going, what? And the ground is not wet, it's dry. And people begin to cross. You know, if you're at the front of the pack, you're saying, let's go. Yeah. If you're at the back of the pack, you're probably saying, go. Like, they're coming. Come on. In the midst of this, if you read through that passage, you'll see that God places a pillar of fire that keeps the Egyptians from being able to catch them. Another element of trust, right? If you're at the back of the pack, you're saying, hey, Lord, don't let that fire go just yet. Let me get on, right? But here God is, keeping them at bay. And he's telling them, obey and trust me. But what's our reaction? You'd think at this point they're going to say, wait a second, this same God that delivered us, he just split the sea open. He's got this, right? It's not, is it? We have a reaction of fear, often of fear, and worry and doubt. We wonder, God, I know you said you could. I know you said you would, but will you? Will you be my deliverer? Look at verse 20. It says, the cloud settled between the Egyptian and the Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire and lit up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other. And you see, in this passage, you see, you read on, the people begin to wonder. Some of the people cry out and they say, hey, are we really going to get across? Are we going to make it? Even though God's placed this here, are we really going to make it across? They begin to question. And so many times, how many times in my life, your life, have we done the same thing? God, I know you're my deliverer. I know you said you would. And I know you've even shown up many times in my life before. But what about this time? This time, I have no idea how you're going to do it. You know, I mean, sometimes I think when we get to heaven, we're going to ask God a lot of questions. One of them is going to be on his timing, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, Lord, like, why now? What? Like, what were you thinking? There's an old song that says he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. It says he may not come when you want him. Anybody say amen to that? It says, but he's going to be there right on time because he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And I remember hearing that as a kid, and you're like, that's the truth. Because he never comes when you want him, but he shows up at the right time. His absence to you may seem as if he's forgotten, but it's simply a setup for what God has planned in your life. So we want to worry, we want to doubt, but even though 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But God's response is what? I told you I would deliver you. It's just a reaffirming response. I am your deliverer. I am here for you. I'm not changing. I've not forgotten. I love you. I am there for you. He never wavers on this thought. He is with them every, even though, you know, he wants to say, hey, buck up, suck up, you know, get over this, you know, suck it up, buttercup. Let's go. Like, quit being a baby. Let's go. Look at verse 26. This is when the Israelites had reached the other side. The Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and the chariots and the charioteers. And if you read on the next couple of verses, that's exactly what happened. The fire was released. The charioteers begin to come flying out there. I love one of the verses that talks about it. It says, Pharaoh said, let's turn around, for God is surely helping them. Because their wheels begin to twist and everything began to go wrong with them. And about the time everybody got in there and all the Israelites were out, the waters came and literally destroyed Pharaoh and his army. At that point, you have a victory dance, right? You know, and that's what you look at chapter 15. They have a victory dance. Miriam plays her tambourine. They're like, woohoo! Yes, God, we knew all along that you had this. You are the God, right? You ever been there? Like, God does show up and you're like, woohoo! Yeah, I knew you would, Lord. I knew you would. I knew you weren't going to forget me. I knew you weren't. Then you look at verse 16 and they say, why have you brought us in the desert to kill us? No kidding. I kid you not. Next chapter. Boy, does that sound familiar? You see, God wants to break through in your life. He wants to give you that miracle. But the truth is, you've got to know that he is your deliverer. You've got to trust that he is your deliverer. And you've got to begin to say, I'm breaking down the barrier that keeps me from moving forward, keeps me from seeing what God has. See, our reaction is, I can't believe God just saved us. Look at verse 29. The people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. This is how the Lord rescued from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up upon the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord Jesus and his servant, Moses. I would think so, right? But they were filled with awe. They couldn't even believe what God had done. Listen, sometimes you're up against a battle and you're saying, God, I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know where. I have no idea what you're going to do here. But Lord, I'm going to trust that you're my deliverer. I'm going to believe that you're my deliverer. I'm going to look in the windshield and see what you have ahead of me instead of focusing on the rearview mirror and looking what's behind me. I'm going to trust that what you have ahead of me is better than being a slave in Egypt. I'm going to trust that you have great things in store for me. You see, Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 6 says, don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have. Since God assured us, I will never let you down, never walk off and leave you. We can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what. Who or what can get to me? Isn't that good? You think about this. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And in your darkest hour, he's there for you. He's there to help you. See, God's response has to be, if they would only learn that every setback is a setup for a miracle. Think about that. Every setback in your life, if you look at the passage, you look at, we're going to walk through a lot of stories this series. And you look at this story, you're going to see a principle that every setback is a setup for a miracle. And today you may be here right now with a setback. You're saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. I don't know what I'm going to do. Can I tell you something? He is God, your deliverer. And just as he helped the children of Israel, he's going to help you. But you're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to trust that he is in control. You're going to have to put your strength, your peace, everything you have, you're going to find in him and say, Lord, I'm looking ahead of what you have planned. I'm not going to be focused on the rearview mirror. I'm going to know that you are there. James chapter 1, verse 2. I love it. I'm going to read it in the message. It says, consider it a sheer gift. Friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you can become mature and well-developed and not deficient in any way. You see, one of those biggest obstacles we face is that rearview mirror. We don't want to go through hard times. We don't like the hard times. Count it joy. Consider it a gift when you go through difficult times. I mean, woohoo! How many of you really do that? I mean, let's be real. That's what we tell others, right? When they're going through a hard time, we say, brother, it's going to be okay. Just count it joy. It's a chance to grow. Amen, brother. I mean, come on now. If you're the one in the hard time, it's like, whoa, hold up. Hold up, you know. It's a lot harder to do. But the truth is, in those difficult times, that's where growth happens. That's where you begin to grow. That's where you begin to develop. And James right here, he's saying, hey, count it a gift. Some of you today, you are at a breaking point. You are so tired. You feel so weak. And you are wondering where God is. Can I tell you something this morning? God is speaking to you saying, hey, hold on. What you think is hurting you is now preparing you. That setback is a setup. I'm strengthening you. I'm helping you. Just trust me. I'm going to see you through. I can tell you over and over in my life again, have I seen this principle come true. I can't even tell you how many times I remember thinking, Lord, you have forgotten. I need your help. But he always shows up. I love the words of that song. I want the worship team to come as we close today. I want to sing that song one more time. But here's what I know. I love the words where it says, I know a breakthrough is coming. By faith, I see a miracle. Now, some of you right there were like, I don't see no miracle. There ain't no miracle in my faith. It didn't say I see it. It says, by faith, I see a miracle. Hebrews 11 says what? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so by faith, I see a miracle because my God gave me a promise and he won't stop now. And I know today that there are many of you that are here that you're at a break. You're like, I'm tired, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to make it. But he's speaking today saying, listen, look forward. Don't quit. I got something big in store. But you've got to hold on. You've got to push through. I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that this morning. Before we close, I never want to close the service without giving you an opportunity to respond to knowing our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't know him, you don't have a relationship with him, you don't know the one true living God, you have never experienced his love, you've never experienced his hope, I want to give you that opportunity. Or if you're here and maybe you have experienced it once in your life, but you've walked away, life's gotten busy, and you just want to quit and give up. The Lord's speaking today saying, hey, come back to me, trust in me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you peace. And with no one looking around, I just want to pray with you right now. We're not going to single you out, call you to the front. I just want to pray with you right where you are. If you do not know Christ or you want to rededicate your life to him today, I just want you to make eye contact with me right now. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Anybody here this morning saying, hey, pray for me today. I want to connect with the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Let's pray today. In Romans chapter 10, it says you confess with your mouth and believe, and you are saved. The confession comes from proclaiming him as Lord. The belief comes and living it out. If you're here this morning and you made that decision today and you're saying, hey, I want to connect with him, maybe you didn't make it, but you want to make that prayer your own today. Maybe you're here and you're saying, hey, I don't know about this. I don't know if I believe any of that. That's okay. Just continue. The Bible says you seek him, you'll find him. I challenge you just to seek and see the validity behind our God and who he is. And when you do that, you can discover him and know him. But for those of you that have experienced that today and you want to make him your Savior today, I just want to lead us in a prayer and ask that all of us join together, not to single anybody out, but let's just pray together. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you in Jesus' name.